as the new athletic year dawns at the corner of Haggard and Williamson, a little bit of a different podcast format. Two different podcasts will now drop each week. An early week podcast to get you set for the full week of Elon Athletics. That's either Monday or Tuesday. And then a Thursday/Friday podcast that will feature more of an extended sit-down with some of the coaches and student athletes that wear the maroon and gold. You'll still get to hear from head coaches with game-specific notes and news that'll be released through other avenues, including the individual team Twitter feeds and the Elon Radio Twitter feed throughout the season. With the opening edition of Elon Football Live set to go this evening from McGurk's, let's roll both podcasts into one for this opening week, and we'll begin on the pitch where the women's team off to a 2-0 start while the men are ready for action this weekend at Duke. You'll hear from women's coach Neil Payne in our extended chat in just a moment, but head coach Mark Reeves is pleased with what the Phoenix men have accomplished in preseason camp.
Yeah, that's our last exhibition game, but we got a few more days prior to going into the Duke tournament on Friday versus Cal State Bakersfield, which we will be able to learn from some of the things tonight. Very good Campbell team, so a good test. And I think we've tried to, that's our main focus, is trying to improve and get the most out of the group, get better in certain areas on the field, and try and find out who potentially could play in what spots and our depth in certain areas. A couple of guys coming back from injury, so that's another positive point as we go into the start of the regular season. But I think generally speaking, the group's worked quite hard. There's been a lot of eagerness to improve and get the season started, and now those games are done. I can't wait for next Friday.
Of course, the opportunity to travel to Durham and play two games on the weekend with Cal State Bakersfield on Friday night and Furman on Sunday afternoon provides a great way to open the 2019 regular season.
You know, we're really appreciative of Duke to include us in that and then play us home or away each year. We're really appreciative of their hospitality. And I think, as always, they've brought in two good teams, a West Coast team and then Furman, who were in the NCAA tournament last year. And the format, kind of that Friday, Sunday, 5 and noon, means you have to prepare for both games. You have to have depth and the ability to, no matter what happens Friday, turn around and get back on the field again Sunday and compete well. But we're excited about getting the regular season started.
We'll bookend this podcast with head women's coach Neil Payne in just a moment. But first, let's get you caught up on the volleyball and football side of the weekend. Mary Tendler's ball club will venture to Pittsburgh, the Robert Morris Invitational. It'll include two matches, McNeese State and host Robert Morris on Friday, and then the Manhattan Jaspers on Saturday. And by now, you should be aware, the Phoenix opened the football campaign on Saturday night in the Gate City of Greensboro against North Carolina A&T. Head coach Tony Trisciani says there's nothing like the excitement of a season opener and a nationally ranked get-together.
This is what we do it for, Taylor. Fired up to be able to play a football game. You know, it's what these guys have been working for. You know, we're a pretty good team on paper right now. We got to go out and play on Saturday. Can't wait for it.
Hear more from Coach Trisciani and player guests this evening from McGurk's for Elon Football Live, presented by American National Bank and Trust. It begins at 6:30 on the digital broadcast platform. Our coverage Saturday from BB&T Stadium starts at 5 p.m. with the Best Western Plus countdown to kickoff, followed by a 6 p.m. Toe Meets Leather. While three programs start their year this weekend, one team's already off and running. That's women's soccer, where victories over Canisius and High Point have jumped the program to a 2-0 start. Head coach Neil Payne begins our extended visit with his early impressions on the young year.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing for us. The fact that we haven't conceded a goal, it suggests that there's some cohesiveness on the back line. And throughout the lines within the team. So the team's bought into that. They came into preseason more prepared, not just physically but mentally.
Yeah,
I get a real sense of that. You know, of course, it's still a long season ahead of us. And, but given, you know, given the what's within the group, the group dynamic, you know, they're working really, really hard.
One of the features of the extended podcast is that we get a chance to dive a little bit deeper into just this season. And obviously your second year at Elon beginning this fall after being at different programs for over two decades. When this opportunity presented itself, what appealed about the Elon opportunity?
Well, two reasons. One was the potential of the program. I was actually shocked by how nice the campus has evolved.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but was hearing really good things of it about Elon over the years. And I just think the potential here, I like the leadership. I think Dave's got a very strong team together. They've got a progressive mentality. They've got a nice balance between wanting to be successful at athletics whilst, you know, having a good pulse on the academic piece and the student-athlete experience. So I think it checks a lot of boxes there. And on the other hand, you know, it checked a lot of boxes for my family.
Yeah.
We used to live in the Raleigh area, and we've always loved North Carolina and where it's located and how accessible it is to you know, multiple places, not just domestically but abroad. So, you know, I see it as a good opportunity, tons of potential, you know, you know, we were excited to make the decision.
You mentioned the accessibility, and not only for students that are coming in, but also you and the program have had an opportunity to study abroad as well. What does an opportunity like that mean for a student athlete to know that they're going to come to school for 4 years and that at some point they're going to have an opportunity to study abroad as part of that 4 years?
Well, it's something they'll never forget.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go to Costa Rica and immersed ourselves in culture, in soccer, and they got to experience a couple of days of how beautiful the island was. And, you know, when there's a lot of conversation right now about cost of attendance and maybe advantages massive football schools might have in that area, right. But you can't put a price on an experience. And you certainly, there's not many universities that can provide what we provided for the team over spring break. And again, to check all the boxes, not just a trip abroad, but to hit it academically, hit it in terms of soccer and culturally as well.
Visiting with head women's soccer coach Neil Payne here on the Elon Athletics Podcast. You mentioned earlier the student part of the student athlete. 26 players in your 2 years have earned all academic recognition in some form. You go back to your time at Texas Tech, I want to say the number is somewhere in the ballpark of 65 to 70. That's an important attribute, right?
Well, there's no question. I mean, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You're here to get a degree, and athletics can be a great vehicle to give you the structure along the way. But the priority is to leave the university qualified and a better person than when you arrived. So that's something that's not negotiable with us. It's a standard. If there's one message that our players have understood, both academically and athletically, is that these are our standards and we're not going to lower them. So, you know, there's the mindset within the group that, you know, all of these standards are attainable and we're going to work our very best to get there.
I mentioned earlier your time at Texas Tech, but you've also got 13 years at Real Colorado. I'm interested in how the club level has grown, but also how is that level maybe help the college soccer?
Well, there's no doubt over the last 20 years, club soccer has become massive. You know, I haven't looked at the stat in a while, but I believe soccer is the second most participated sport amongst kids for a number of reasons. One, you know, sometimes you just need a couple of bags and a ball and you can just knock right. The ball around right. And there's not much structure. But I think it used to be where there was just a handful of really big clubs, and what you're starting to find now is there's a lot more qualified coaches, a lot more qualified people. Players are retiring from the game and becoming coaches, which is obviously very important. So we are retaining good soccer people within the game, and what you're starting to see is lots of clubs appearing in all the states. So There's good news and bad news there in terms of recruiting. It used to be that you could leverage contacts more easily, and if you had those contacts, then you'd have the accessibility to go and see players that somebody may have told you about. And now, because there's so many clubs, that there's several showcases throughout the year, mm-hmm. that everybody's seeing the same players. But the good thing is that more kids are playing, and it's a little more structured. It's not just a random group of people who decide to put a club together. You've really got to know operationally how to run a club to be successful. So lots of good people in the game right now, and you're starting to see, obviously, the benefits of that are more good players.
You mentioned good people in the game. I would be remiss if we didn't wrap this up by talking a little bit about the two folks that are on your staff here, Paul and Olivia, who have done a great job.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I couldn't ask for two better people. Different, you know, and that's what we need. I need a staff that's going to challenge me. I need a staff that's going to bring fresh ideas. And equally, I need a staff who trusts him in and believes in the message, so that when we leave the office or we leave our coach's meeting room, we're all on the same page on the field. And they both bring a good balance. I knew Paul from an A-license course, which is the highest certification you can get in the coaching soccer world. So he brings a wealth of experience with him. He's got a great tactical mind. And Olivia has an extensive college experience background, which is massive for us. And more importantly, she's a goalkeeper coach, yep. which the program needs. It's needed that for a while. And, you know, our goalkeepers haven't had the attention that they have deserved. So we've seen massive strides already in pre-season in that department. So, I mean, again, we're no goals conceded at this point, and that will change. And you know, we're all realistic on that front. but you can see how we're a lot more difficult to break down, and a lot of that has to do with Olivia and the goalkeeper training.
Our thanks to Coach Payne for joining us on a busy Thursday. Women are back in action this evening in the New River Valley against the Radford Highlanders. You can follow all of the live stats via elonphoenix.com. We'll talk to you on the podcast side early next week. Remember, McGurk's this evening for Elon Football Live, and then Saturday from Greensboro, Elon and North Carolina A&T to open the 2019 football season.